Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, and Happy New Year to everyone. It's 2016. Can you believe it? That when we remember when we had the millennial, it just seemed like this 16 years away seemed like a million years away. But here we are, 2016, and January, it's that time of year when everybody, not everybody, but most people think, okay, this is my chance for a fresh start here. It's time for me to set new goals, to revisit old goals, make vacation plans, think about career improvements, and eat more healthfully. That's usually on the list, right? And the list goes on. But, you know, as I travel around in the course of my work, the number one complaint I hear from people is that they just don't have time to do the things that I really want to do. I take care of everybody else. I take care of my work situation. I just don't have time for me. And, you know, that's kind of sad. And I think it's something we've probably all run into at some point. So today, we're joined by someone who's been on the show twice before. Mitzi Weinmann is one of my favorite time strategists. And today, we're going to talk about creating space for you. So this is all about you. So sit back and hopefully you can relax a little and listen and get some of your bucket goals taken care of this year. So let me introduce Mitzi for those who are not familiar with her. She's the founder of Time Finder, which offers practical approaches to personal and professional productivity. She's a coach, workshop leader, and professional speaker. And since 1989, Time Finder's programs have provided ongoing support and professional personal development to hundreds of companies, including associations such as New Balance, Reebok, Boston Symphony Orchestra, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, Pearson Education, and Marriott University. And Mitzi Weinmann earned a bachelor's degree from Newhouse School of Communication at Syracuse University. And she lives in Massachusetts with her husband, son, and dog. So Mitzi Weinmann, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. Happy New Year, Vicki.
And to you, and to you. I hope you've got your goals all lined up, right?
I'm working on my goals, but you know what? It's something that I work on all the time. It's not just the one time of year, because then we put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
We do, and I'll let you into a secret. I did mine in November. I do my year not from January 1st, but from my birthday, which is in November. And it's around the Thanksgiving time, so there's always a little downtime. And so I start my new year the day after my birthday, or the day of my birthday, really. So I've already done most of mine.
Very good. Excellent.
So we're going to do this a little differently today. I should say you're the author of It's About Time, Transforming Chaos into Calm, A to Z. And we've talked about various aspects of your book before, and we're going to do that again today. This was a book written for busy people. It's not a book you have to sit down and, you know, plow through. It's a book you can pick up at any time and just read a very short chapter, right?
Exactly, exactly. It was written for the busy person who hasn't got time to read it.
And so, lest people think that you were born organized, because I've heard this from people, oh, well, you're either naturally organized or you're not. And it's funny when you see couples together, usually one of them is fairly organized and the other is fairly not organized, unorganized. But you say it's definitely not something that you're either born with or not. You yourself had to learn it. I read a funny story at the beginning of your book which said that your father put on your bedroom door, cleanliness is next to godliness, welcome to hell, or so, words to that effect.
Welcome to the gates of hell.
The gates of hell, there you go. And when you were seven, boy, you were a feisty child. You ran away because you didn't want to make your bed.
I didn't want to make my bed, so I ran about 4 to 5 miles away from home with my baby carriage, and I had the police and lots of other neighbors looking for me. So today, I still, you know, as I said, I still don't really like making my bed, so I use a comforter, and it's really easy. You just kind of, like, let it just you just kind of whoosh it up and let it fall down, and you don't have to tuck in sheets or anything like that. So.
Well, I'm with you on that. And there is actually scientific research based around that. I read that over the weekend. I've seen it before, but I looked it up specifically over the weekend. And there is actually scientific research around starting your day that way. It sets the tone to start you off in a good way.
Well, if you want to start your day off in a really good way, and for so many people, it's different. Some people like to meditate when they first get up. You know, some people have their routines, their bathroom routine, so to speak. And some people, just like my husband, he has to have the coffee and the newspaper before you can talk to him. So, you know, we all have our different ways that we can start our day, and it's finding the one that really works for us.
Right.
And getting off on a good, you know, on a good start.
And that's key. What works for us? What works for us? So let's tell listeners how we're going to do this today. I received about 30, just over 30 questions from listeners about issues that they have with time management and creating space specifically for themselves. That's what this show is about, creating space for yourself. Because most of us, you know, if we're paid to do a job, yes, we deliver on that. You know, we make sure our kids get to where they need to be. We usually, you know, support a spouse, whether we're, you know, male or female. We support our husband or we support our wife, whatever. And then we're right at the back of the list there. So today is about creating space for you. And so what we did was take those questions and combine them, because as you can imagine, many of them were quite similar, so that we address as many issues as we can. And I think the one I wanted to start off with, Mitzi, because it most spoke to this particular topic, was number 3 that I sent to you, which was, I'm going to read it out for listeners. I'm highly accomplished in my career as a software developer, very organized, meet all my deadlines, generate new projects and apps, etc. But in my personal life, I'm pathetic. I think we've all felt like that sometimes. But he says, I'm going to be hitting 40 this year and I'm feeling depressed that I can't get my things done. I have ideas for apps that I'd like to develop and would make a lot of money. When I get home from work, that's the last thing I feel like doing since I've been doing it all day. I also have a bucket list that gets longer instead of shorter. And some of those things on the bucket list were rapid water rafting, hiking Mount Rainier. And I'm so disorganized at work. I'm so organized at work, yet my research at home is in foot-high stacks and has taken over my home office. I clean it up and 2 weeks later it's back to being a mess, so I avoid going in there. So this is somebody who's obviously highly functioning at work, and then at home it's a whole different story. So where would you begin to advise somebody on something like this?
Well, what I would suggest is that firstly, if there's an app or something that he really wants to work on that's part of his goals, it's really to define exactly what it is that he wants to do. So when we talk about goals, there's a formula called a SMART goal, which is each letter stands for something: specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time-constrained. So being really specific with what you want to do, and it would be in this, you know, creating what kind of an app, being really specific. And measurable is being able to actually get it done and measuring progress along the way to make it measurable, that you are making strides. And then the action are starting to create the plan and the to-dos, but also being realistic with what you can or you cannot do. And then putting a time constraint on it as to, I want to get it done by a particular date. So you start by starting to define what that would be, but also looking at, you know, why do you want to do this? He said that it would generate some money, which is, sounds like it might be important, because if he generates some money, he might be able to do some of the other things that are on his bucket list, which we'll get to in a second. But if he has to start to look at, you know, making sure that he understands really why it's relevant, why it's something that is truly important, and being able to actually write this out. So writing the goal out and writing out why it's important and seeing that right in front of him, but also looking at what are those obstacles that are getting in his way and really defining what those are and looking at ways to overcome them. So, for example, one of the obstacles I see is that when he gets home from work, the last thing he wants to do is to sit there and work on this project. So one of the things I would ask if you were here is that, do you have to go straight home from work? Can you go someplace else? If you've got a plan on what you want to accomplish, and we'll talk about that, breaking it down, is there someplace else that you can do it? Because once you get home, it makes it really difficult to kind of get back up to do something that might require a lot of thinking. It's sort of like people who want to work out and they go home first from work, and then they don't get to the gym.
Right.
So you have to kind of think through going to the gym first. I was working with a student, and he got home from school, from classes, and he really procrastinated his homework. And it was because he started to relax too much, get distracted by the things in his home. So I suggested, well, go to the library first. Don't go home. And it made a tremendous difference in how he approached his homework and projects.
I can see that. I can see that. We have to take a break in just a moment, and we'll come back and talk about the bucket list and stuff. But I can definitely see that, because there are certain projects that I have to go to a coffee shop to work on, otherwise they'd never get done.
And you can get yourself psyched, you know, really kind of motivated, knowing that, okay, this is what I'm going to work on today, and having a real plan of tasks that you want to do in a small, you know, small bite of time, even in an hour or an hour and a half.
Yeah, and it's different. You're creating space between the day's work and your project, too, as well. It's in, like, if you just stayed in your own office, you'd feel like you were at work all the time, wouldn't you?
You would, and you would feel like, okay, I should really be checking my work, or, you know, my work email, or that somebody's going to see me here and want to talk to me, whether it's social or about something at work. So it's distancing yourself from that. But then, in this particular case, not necessarily going right home. Finding a comfortable place, which could be a coffee shop, it could be a library, you know, it could be, depending on where they live, it could be a park, if it doesn't get dark too early.
Mm-hmm.
And just making that separation, but having a strategic plan of tasks to accomplish in that time. So it could be just even doing it once a week. And if you do it once a week, then you start to see that you're making progress. And as you start to make progress, you get real excited about it. And you feel like, wow, I'm getting to this. I'm getting this done. And really just invigorates and energizes.
Yes, and that's the catalyst. It provides more motivation for you. So I love that idea. Hold on to that thought. We need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about chunking it down or breaking it down, and we'll talk about bucket lists that pertain to this particular question. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and my guest is Mitzi Weinman. Her book is called It's About Time, Transforming Chaos into Calm A to Z.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services, if you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we're talking today about creating space for you. You are the most important person in your life, or you should be. And many of us end up putting all of our goals and our wants at the back of the list there. So we're trying to share some tips here with expert Mitzi Weinman. She is a speaker and author. She's the author of It's About Time, Transforming Chaos into Calm, A to Z. And she's been on the show a couple of times, and I love her approach to it because it's so practical. You can just apply it straight away. There's no nonsense here, no gadgets, no twists. It's good, solid, practical advice. And before the break, we were talking about one of our listeners. We're sharing listener questions today. We're talking about somebody who's highly accomplished at work and has things that he wants to do, like produce apps, and not finding the time at home for himself and for his bucket list. So, Mitzi, do you want to continue on that?
Sure. So the bucket list, you know, whether it's to go rapid water rafting or hiking or whatever, and this listener has a lot on the list, but it keeps getting longer and nothing is getting done from the bucket list of kind of desires of places to go and types of things to do. So one of the things I would suggest is to you can keep the bucket list, the long list, but I would prioritize it, and I would take one thing from the list, and I would say, this is the one thing I want to do, let's say this year, and then start looking at how to get it, you know, how to get there, if it's a physical place, how to do this, and look again. It's kind of, there's a little bit of theme that will happen throughout, I think, today's program. It's to look at what are the obstacles in holding back being able to do this. In this particular case, I don't really know, but perhaps it might be financial. So if there's the financial aspect to it, then it's to create a financial goal. Let's say before even creating the financial goal, is to find out what would a trip cost that this person wants to do, and start doing some research on it. So you start with the plan on, you know, doing some research on a particular trip, start looking at times of the year, and block out that week or 2 weeks and get approval from work that you're going to do this. And then figure out how much, even if it's not that particular trip because it ends up being too expensive, but try to have the time blocked out. But figure out what it would cost to do it, what you really want the trip to look like, and if you need to create a financial goal for that trip, then you have an amount of money, let's say, that you want to be saving specifically for that trip, and look at ways that you can start to sock some of it away so that you have it really honed in and focused on getting to where you want to go.
Right.
And so I would narrow the list down, choose a place, prioritize, choose one place. and really work towards getting there and not looking at all the things that aren't, that you're not going to, or places you're not going to, but look at the place that you are going to be going to and focus on just that one. Once you start working on that one, then after you come back or before you even leave for your trip, start to plan the next one once the first one's done, and just kind of keep going that way so that you don't feel like you're not really making any inroads on that bucket list.
Right. There's definitely leverage to taking that action, just getting it on your calendar even, because it's like action begets action, right? I think the actual motivation, the part of it is built on the Latin root to act. So that makes sense.
Absolutely. Getting things on the calendar when you want to see friends, when you want to plan a trip or a weekend away or taking a class, it's really getting it on the calendar. You have to block that out and then talk to whoever might be impacted by your not being around. Or if you're going with family, you work it out based on if it's a school schedule or school calendar, but you get it on the calendar, and that starts to, exactly what you said, it starts to feed the momentum of really making it happen and seeing it become more realistic.
Yeah, and then we start feeling good about ourselves because we're actually accomplishing something, even if it's tiny, minute little things.
Exactly, and that's what you want to do. You want to accomplish things and feed your energy and feel motivated to keep moving forward and not feeling, this person feels his life is a little pathetic. So
yeah.
That's sad. But, you move things forward and take steps and action, and it just feeds the energy.
So while we're talking about goals here, can we talk a little about the three types of goals you share in your book, which are essential goal, a problem-solving goal, and innovative goal?
Yeah, so the essential goal is really one that you absolutely have to accomplish. So it could be that you need to make enough money to pay your mortgage or your rent, that it's an absolute goal that you need to be able to pay your employees, if you have them, that you have to make payroll for your company to keep running. So those are essential type of goals. They're absolute. Then the problem-solving goal could be that, your computer is running okay, it's slow, and at times it really kind of does cause a problem because you can't respond to a customer or client fast enough. So you look to put money away for a particular type of computer, or you're trying to solve something that needs to be solved. And so the second type of goal is a problem-solving goal, things that you want to resolve. And then the third goal, which a lot of folks have, but then those are the things that totally get backburnered, are the innovative goals. It's the goals to do the traveling, to learn another language, to write a book, to, to be able to, like I said before, I said travel the world, to be able to...
Yeah, the things that we just are in our heart that we want to do and just don't get around to.
Exactly. And those tend to be, like I said, those tend to be more backburnered. But it's important to be able to put together a plan on how to get those innovative goals integrated into your day-to-day tasks and to-dos. And so by defining them in that smart way, specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time constraint, you start to really define what that looks like. And what's interesting with goals is that once you start to write it out and you start to see it, what you then want to do is start looking at how can I create small projects from the goals, because it makes it much more doable when you can see it as a project, a small project, three or four steps. And so you start to look at how do I break it down into those smaller projects, and then from there into the day-to-day tasks, and looking at integrating those tasks into each and every day and putting it on your planner or Outlook or Google Calendar, whatever you're using, that you see the tasks there.
Right, right. Okay, so the next question is quite long. So let's go to break a little early here, Mr. Eric, our producer. And we'll tackle this when we come back, so I don't have to interrupt you, Mitzi, because I think this is probably the kind of situation that a lot of people run into, and that's just feeling stuck, that stuck feeling. My guest is Mitzi Weinmann. She's the founder of Time Finder. She's the author of It's About Time. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We'll be right back. Please do stay with us.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Vashon Island, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 10th, it's a Talk with Your Animals Sunday with gifted animal communicator, medium, and Reiki master, Darcy Pariso. Darcy can help you talk with and learn about your animal friends or help you connect with animal or human loved ones on the other side. So plan to give us a call on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to mil.wa.gov and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by Washington State Emergency Management Division, local emergency management agencies, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And this is our first show of 2016. So we're looking at how to create space for yourself. Something, you know, that many people struggle with because lives are busy these days. And we often end up at the back of the list. And my guest expert is Mitzi Weinmann. She's the founder of Time Finder, the author of It's About Time, Transforming Chaos into Calm, A to Z. And so we just finished with that one question, Mitzi. And this one is a similar kind of question, but this is more about feeling stuck, just feeling stuck here. So let me just quickly paraphrase this for you. My husband left our home 5 years ago, leaving me with four children to raise pretty much alone. At the time, I was at nursing school specializing in high-risk babies. I had to stop school and get a job that, quote, pays the bills, but bores me to numbness. And I can't seem to shake that off when I get home. By the time I've cooked dinner, made sure everyone's done their homework, got the laundry done, I just want to veg in front of TV. And then I tell myself I deserve to rest because I've worked hard. But this, she does realize, is keeping her stuck. Her parents live 1,200 miles away and just tell her to suck it up and wait till the kids have left home, but that's going to be a decade away. And feels she has no time for anything. But there is time there if she's vegging in front of the TV. It's just that I think reading this, it's that stuck thing that we're looking at here.
Yeah, so this is really difficult because I can understand that after a really busy day and finally getting the kids to bed, you just want to sit there and veg mm-hmm. and not necessarily move and have to kind of motivate yourself to doing something else. And so it makes it, you know, you do feel stuck. So one of the things I would ask this listener to do, and it sounds similar a little bit to the last one, but to identify what the obstacles are. There are definitely obstacles here. But when you start to identify what the obstacles are, it's really then looking at ways to overcome those obstacles. What might be some of actions that can be taken? And so, for example, you know, she says that she you know, by the time I've cooked dinner and made sure everyone has done their homework and got the laundry into the dryer, I would start to see, you know, I don't know how old the kids are, but I do know a parenting expert. Her name is Dr. Deborah Gilboa, Dr. G. And she starts with her kids. She's got four kids, too. She starts them doing chores really early on that they can learn to do the laundry and they can learn to fold the clothes. They might not do it perfectly, but perfection isn't necessary. They
right.
can start to learn to, you know, use a vacuum cleaner or set the table or clear the table. And so you start to get the kids a little bit more involved and take some of the work away from yourself. I would also start to, you know, look at where there might be some other kinds of support for her. She was going to nursing school, and it may be that the nursing school has means or ways to help somebody who is in this type of situation to speak to someone at the school and see if there's some way that she could get back into school but find some support. Now, the support could also be if she's got, I know she says she's not doing anything with her friends, but to look at friends and maybe do certain, like, babysitter exchanges. Like, one night you babysit somebody's kids and then they babysit your kids so that you can even go out and just have a nice dinner with some other friends. But it's to take a look and see, you know, what can I do to get myself unstuck by identifying what is making you stuck and start looking at what might be some options.
Yeah.
Because when you start weighing your options and really think them through, the possibilities are out there. It's just really trying to think beyond just the situation that you're in that moment.
Right. And I agree with the parenting expert you talked about starting children off doing chores very young. I can remember, you know, friends of mine who won't allow their children to do chores, and I know how they've grown up.
Yeah.
And I've got friends who made their children do chores. It was expected, and I know how they've grown up. There's a huge mm-hmm. difference between the two different groups. So I think it's actually good for them and teaches them responsibility and teaches them teamwork at a very early age, and it gives them some sense of accomplishment, too.
Exactly. And the other thing I would add, too, is that if she were to just choose one night a week not to veg in front of the TV but have a succinct plan in place for that night to do something different or that she might be doing at home but something to further her career, her nursing career, or just working on getting back into school, but just one night a week versus thinking that it has to be every night a week.
Yeah.
And have that, but know what you want, you know, kind of knowing what she wants to do that particular night. And also then for her to plan, like, say, one night a month where she goes out, so she arranges for a babysitter or a friend to come in, but one night a month, block it out and make sure that she's doing something for herself. You know, they say, you know, the whole airline thing, that if you don't take care of yourself first,
yeah,
then you can't take care of anybody else. And so if you start to build up resentment, I'm not saying she's resentful, but after a period of time where you don't get time for yourself, you can build up some resentment or just feel trapped. And so doing certain things that you can do for yourself, even if they're small, like even once the kids have gone to bed, just even taking a bath and just feeling a little bit pampered can make a difference as well.
Yes.
Looking at little things that you can do to help yourself.
Yes, I think when we get stuck like that, whether it's work or home or life in general, we get this pervasive way of thinking. We think it has to be all or nothing. And I think you gave some great tips there. Those little things that we can insert in daily or weekly or monthly can be the difference in unlocking that energy and getting us moving again. So I want to move on to this one because you mentioned, you know, if we don't look after ourselves, we'll eventually get resentful. And this person admits that she does get resentful about working so many hours, and this is primarily a work thing here, Meetings and email. The bane of my life. Suck up so much of my time, I can't get my work done. And she goes on to explain that she's tried not responding to email immediately, only at certain times of the day. She's also tried to be really firm about accepting and declining office meetings, but her manager is very insistent that I stay ahead of the curve. And to her manager, that means attending every team meeting as well as cross-functional meetings. Leaves me working from home every night and weekend, causing issues at home. Spouse isn't happy. Can't understand why I can't say no. She's stressed and drained, and she has no time for her children. So that's where the resentment's coming in. So let's go back to the beginning there. Meetings and email, they do suck up an extraordinary amount of somebody's work day. And if you're constantly in meetings and constantly returning emails, you can't be doing the work you really need to be doing.
Well, exactly. So let me talk about the meetings first. But I'm going to talk about it from one of the things that she said, was that her manager was insistent that she attend all of these meetings. So where it seems like she feels that she can't say no to her manager, and I guess that's one of the issues, how can I say no? So one of the things I would suggest to this listener is to really understand what's on her plate and what deadline she has, projects she needs to be working on, and schedule a time to meet with the manager when she's calm and not feeling so potentially emotional about it, But set up a meeting with her manager and go in and talk about it. And so you go in with a plan, and when you have your plan, you're able to communicate really from a place of knowledge and be effective in how you communicate with your manager. But when you go in, you cannot go in and start to communicate from a place of emotion or frustration. You need to be able to communicate from a place of that knowledge. But go in with some alternative solutions. What would be some options that she could suggest to her manager that would work? Maybe it's somebody else going to some of these meetings. Maybe it's that certain meetings she doesn't really need to be attending, or could just get the minutes or back from those meetings and still be effective with getting the knowledge.
I have a suggestion on that, because I've been in this situation myself on several teams that I've worked with, and I used to tag team and still do sometimes with somebody. So if it's my area of expertise, I'll go to that meeting and I'll make notes for him. And if it's his area, he's more technical than I am, if it's his area of expertise, then he'll go to the meeting and make notes that are relevant to me. And that works really well.
That's a great idea. And so presenting that as an alternative solution, or whatever alternative solutions and options that she can present to her manager, will make it easier for the manager to decide, for them to come to sort of a conclusion of what they could do. It's important that whenever something like this is presented to a manager, that it's always put in the context of why it's important for the company that she not attend these, in this particular case, not attend some of these meetings. Why is that valuable to the company, not why is it important for her not to?
Right.
So putting it in the context of the importance to the company. And when you go in with alternative solutions, whether it's this problem or some other issues that you're having, you're going in thoughtfully and having given it thought. And you're going in as a professional, and you are helping your manager, because they don't want to have to think it through and figure it out. They don't have time. They're going to just say, get it done, or just go to the meeting. But when you go in with a plan of action and those options, you've made things easier for them.
Right.
I know some people will say, have your manager prioritize for you. Well, you prioritize for your manager.
Yes, you need to manage your manager.
Exactly, because you want to be in the driver's seat. You don't want the manager coming up with a solution that you're going to be unhappy with.
Right.
So you want to figure out something that's going to work better for you. And you are more familiar with your work than your manager, so you're in the driver's seat. So plan and know what you have on your plate and your deadlines. Communicate effectively and go in with alternative solutions that are in the best interest of the company.
Yes, you think man hours, because if you've got seven people from the same team attending like just a generic meeting, you know, you've got a lot of man hours wasted there when one person could go and just relay that information to everyone.
Well, what you're saying too makes good sense, that if you can put it in terms of dollars and cents, then, you know, in finance and money lost by being in the meeting, that's always, you know, that kind of can hit people in the...
Redundancy and budget always works really well.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next question. I think, did we got both of those done. Did we talk about email? We didn't talk about email.
So email, it just really sucks a lot of people's time, doesn't it?
It does. We're talking, I mean, I get 300 to 400 a day, and I know people who get more than that. So
exactly. So the difficulty is, well, one of the things is to look and see if the emails that you're getting, you need to be getting. So can you unsubscribe to start to clear out some of the inbox? But one of the things is, you know, she said in particular that she tries not to respond to email immediately. If you have something that you're working on that really is a priority, it becomes really important to turn off any indicator that you're getting an email so that you don't hear a sound notification or something doesn't pop up, because it takes about 20 minutes to get back to the thinking where you were when you were distracted, even if it's that sound or even that pop-up. So if you're working on a priority and you are working on a deadline, make sure that you don't have anything coming to you via email. And spend that time, because you'll get your stuff done much more quickly and you'll be more productive. The other thing is that if you are constantly responding to email very quickly, then you are setting up an expectation that you always respond to email very quickly.
Yes.
And so it's looking at setting up some boundaries, which it looks like this listener was trying to do, that only responding certain times of the day, which is a really great strategy. It can be really difficult, and it can also stress people out trying to do that. But it's really, if you can work it, it can make all the difference in the world. But have time blocked out for email so that you can take that time to look at it, respond to it, and take that action that you need to with that email. But block out time, half an hour, 45 minutes, to a few times a day to go through that email.
Right.
If it's not possible to do that, or you're not really feeling comfortable, at least do your highest priority earlier in the day, first thing before you actually look at your email. I have one of my clients, he would squint through his emails early in the morning and only look at the ones from his boss. So his filter was through his squinting.
Yes.
But he would, but that's what he would respond to, his boss. He was able to prioritize, and the other stuff he could let sit. The thing is, if somebody really wants to reach us, usually when I do my workshops, people will say they really want to reach me and they're physically on site. They'll come to my office or my cube. Mm-hmm. The second way, if they really want to, is by phone. And the third way really is by email. And some other companies do have instant messaging.
Yeah. I think one of the key points there for me is setting the expectation. You talked about that. You know, if we respond immediately, people expect that. And then if you don't respond immediately, they're like, did you get my email? It's like, and that's, you know, that's kind of a waste of time and more redundancy added to the day. But I think that's some great advice there, Mitzi. So let's move on to, let's take a break first. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about travel issues and time management tools. And that's going to take us to the top of the hour, pretty much. Well, you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is time strategist, speaker, and author, Mitzi Weinman, and her book is Time Finder, author of It's About Time, Transforming Chaos into Calm, A to Z. We'll be right back.
Obstacles, they come and go. That's the name of this game, you know. This life can't be bought nor sold. Just play your cards, then fold. Take two steps forward, one step back. Every time I get on track, the light fades to black as the curtain drops back. I still step to my destiny. See it right in front of me. It's in your eyes.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Hi, I'm Britney Spears. I've had the pleasure of singing all over this great nation, but today I'm lending my voice to the 15 million kids in America struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left without enough food for a meal. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks helps to get food to families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to learn how you can help. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Tell your friends, the place to be is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
This life can't be bought or sold. Just play our cards, then fold. Can't give back the time you stole.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I'm talking with time strategist Mitzi Weinman today. You know, at the beginning of the year, we all like to try and regroup. Most of us like to try and regroup. I shouldn't say all. Most of us like to try and regroup and make sure that we get off to a good start to the year. And so we're talking about, we're actually answering listener questions today. Mitzi's book is called It's About Time. And so we've only got a few minutes left here, Mitzi, and I did want to get these in because I think they probably pertain to a lot of people, not just the listeners who wrote in. This person travels approximately 200 days of the year with his job, national and international. So he's got different locations, jet lag to deal with, time zone differences to deal with. He's living in hotels, dining with clients, being on tight schedules, makes it hard to establish a daily routine for himself. So consequently, he's gained almost 40 pounds in 2 years. His wife worries, as he does, about his health. And any suggestions for creating a routine that will stick while he's traveling?
So one of the things when I was looking at this, that I think that if he can establish a good routine at home, even though he's only there, it looks like 165 days, but to have a good routine at home, and that should be easier. The routine on the road is definitely more of a challenge. But it's to really look at, if he were to do some kind of a routine, and maybe he can't really have the type of routine where it's the same thing day in and day out, but if he can look and say, you know, when I'm traveling, I want to work out. But maybe the workout needs to be less. So maybe it's just in the room, in the hotel room, doing a certain number of sit-ups and jumping jacks. You know, I'm just throwing out, you know,
right,
jumping jacks.
Right.
Something, you know, squat thrust.
I think I had somebody doing jumping jacks above me in my hotel over the holiday.
You know, or just, you know, or it could be just push-ups. But just a small routine where right before he goes to bed or when he wakes up in the morning, he's doing that kind of something very short. Doesn't have to go to the gym in the hotel, nothing like that, but just something small. And that's 5 or 10 minutes, but it's 5 or 10 minutes that he's not getting right now. The other thing is that when he's traveling, if he can, if he knows what restaurants that he might be going to, it might be to look at the website and anticipate and figure out what he's going to eat before he actually gets there. See, when you start to look before you go to a restaurant and what you're going to eat, then you're not going to be, and have that in your mind, way to go and eat something that might be more unhealthy for you,
mm-hmm.
so that you're kind of thinking it through before you actually get there. But I think that, you know, because the job lends itself to this type of travel, it's to realize that there may not be a lot of routine you can do when you're traveling and you're jet lagged, but there are small routines. It could be getting up and just doing 5 minutes of meditation and just kind of breathing. Slow breathing and just kind of getting set for the day. Or it could be, like I said, 5 or 10 minutes of sit-ups and push-ups and something like that. But small routines, and not feeling like you have to have that hour workout where you're really building up the sweat, but doing something small.
Right. Most hotels now have gyms. No matter how small, it's a help, too.
They do, but that means you have to get down there
right.
to do that. And
right.
So if your schedule is tight, it may not lend itself to that, so you can do something in your room
True.
That would still work all right for you. It might not be as fun as getting on a treadmill, but or as cardio healthy as getting on a treadmill, but at least it's doing something towards creating something healthy for yourself while you're traveling.
Right. So just really being proactive, looking ahead, not being so reactive to the day there and circumstances. So this is I have this issue because I work with a lot of different clients and they all have their own calendar they want to use. This person said, I have 2 part-time jobs and one job we have to use Google Calendar. The other job uses Outlook. Then I have my phone calendar. I have my desk calendar. so that's 4 calendars. And then at home in the kitchen, I have a kitchen calendar with the kids' schedules and my husband's details. So that makes 5 in total. Do you recommend any particular products?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, where one job requires Google Calendar and then the other job uses Outlook, it makes it really challenging. If she can narrow it to 3, but if she goes on to, if she does a Google search on syncing Google Calendar with Outlook, she'll find that Google took that ability away. But there are some ideas online on how to import calendars into, like, Outlook or into Google. And she could check that out. I would suggest that, you know, Google Calendar you can have on your phone, or you can have Outlook on your phone so you have that sync, you know, have it sync to your phone. Ask the IT person at one of the jobs or both to sync Outlook to your phone.
Right, right.
Outlook there's an ability with Outlook. You can have at the bottom the tasks that you want to do per day, and it's an easy way to just add tasks by just typing them in versus going to the screen where it's start date, end date. And so it's a certain view that you can have with Outlook to make it easier to see the tasks. I think the home calendar, you got to have the home calendar when you've got a lot of kiddos and you've got family to keep track of who's doing what. But I also think it's important to have that family meeting once a week and go over the calendar so that you make sure you're all in sync with each other
right,
and knowing
right.
who's doing what. Having too many calendars, you know, having a personal calendar and a professional calendar, it's really just choose one calendar for personal that is being used at work. So whether it's Google or Outlook, just
yep.
choose one. I think it's unfortunate that she's in this predicament where one company wants her to use only Google Calendar.
Yeah, and I do think it's a fairly common problem. One thing that I do, because I do, as I said, work with different clients who want different calendars, but I use Evernote. It's on my laptop, both of my laptops. It's on my Kindle. It's on my phone. It syncs automatically. So if there's something really critical, I just email it to Evernote. It's a free product. Oh, I know you have to buy it now. You do have to buy it to email to yourself now. It's $25 a year, you know? And I don't know how I survived without it. Unfortunately,
Evernote is a good product. Trello is another one for projects to kind of keep things straight. But it's really finding, getting, it's really making sure that in this particular case, instead of five calendars, even if you can narrow it to three, she's going to be better off.
All right. Well, we're right at the end of our segment. Mitzi Weinman, great advice. Thank you so much for beginning our new year with us. Really appreciate your time today. Please tell listeners quickly where they can find you.
They can go to timefinder.net, and there's a link to be able to buy my book through Amazon on my website. There's also, they sign up for my newsletter, they can get some stress busters sent to them via email, and then there's also information about the different types of workshops and coaching that I do, the one-on-ones that I do, and also coaching exchange, which is group coaching.
Awesome. So, thank you so much, Mitzi Weinman. Appreciate your time today. And I downloaded the book onto my Kindle yesterday because I lent somebody my book copy and it never came back to me. It's called It's About Time, Transforming Chaos into Calm, A to Z. And Mitzi Weinman, again, my guest. Thank you so much for being with us. Happy New Year. We have to fly out of here. We pushed it right to the edge there. Stay strong. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.